Francis is talking about, God rebuking the devourer, real vivid impression on my mind when I was a boy. The big family of us, and we tried to raise as much groceries as we could, save having to buy them at the store just to make ends meet. And we had usually had a pretty good sized potato patch. Tried to raise enough potatoes to tide us over at least till after the first of the year. And Dad was working long hours on the job at that time, and the potato bugs got, usually poisoned the potato bugs once or twice. You know, need to leaves off a vine and strip the vines, they get real infested. And Dad just was working such long hours and didn't have time to take care of it. And he walked out in that potato patch, and the potato bugs just hatching out and chewing on the leaves, and needed something done real bad. And he stood in the middle of that potato patch and said, "Lord," he said, "if I'd pay my tithes, you'd rebuke the devourer." He said, "I could poison these potato bugs if I had time, but I've got too much to do trying to make a living right now. I can't do it. And Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands." Well, I was always right behind Dad. I just practically worshiped my daddy. And I went out later to check on them potatoes. You know what was down between the rows? Them little red tater bugs just laying there, dead. I've never forgot that. Had one of the best crops of potatoes that year we ever had, and never put a bit of poison on them. I mean, if we'd had time, Dad had time to take care of it, he'd took care of it. But he didn't. He just put it in God's hands. And I went out that evening and took a look, and them rows had dead potato bugs up and down just like they'd been poisoned. I mean, just littering the ground. Hallelujah. I hadn't forgot that. Hallelujah. Prove me and see. Hallelujah. I'll rebuke the devourer. You can't outdo God. You just can't outdo God. Thank the Lord. He's able. Amen. In the 9th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." Behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. He called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." To the others he said, in mine hearing, "Go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, "Defile the house, fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth." And they went forth and slew in the city. Lord, impress this on my heart. And, before daylight this morning, I was awake for quite a period of time. The Lord seemed to be dealing with me. If there's anything that we lack in the wholeness churches, it's probably the kind of burden that we need to have. And I wondered, Lord, if you pass through our churches across our land today, like you did at Jerusalem at this time. 6 men with destroying weapons in their hand. One man among them clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. The brazen altar meant the place of judgment. Brass indicated judgment. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of who? The men that sigh and cry for the abominations that be done in the midst of it. These folks weren't doing those things, but they had a burden and was troubled about it. They was concerned about the abominations that was happening. And to the others, those that had the destroying weapons, he said, go ye after him through the city and smite, and let not your eye spare. Slay utterly the old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Judgment begins first at the house of God, Peter said. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? It starts first at the sanctuary, and they begin of the ancient men which were before the house. I wonder if the Lord came by to check to see how many of us has shed a tear over the situation that our world's in today. Over the abominations that's in the land. How many of us have carried the mark this morning? How many of us have been concerned enough to spend some extra time on our knees because of the lost, because of the backslidden, because of those that's rejecting God and turning God down? I thought yesterday when I was on the mower, the traffic so heavy all afternoon on the highway, and I wondered, Lord, just how many of those folks is lost? How many of those folks is going to wind up in hell if somebody don't reach out to them? God help me to have the burden I need to have. Habakkuk said, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Sometimes if you take a look around, you can see a burden. We usually wait for God to give us one, for God to put a burden on us, for God to put pressure on us. But we ought to be able to see some of the things that's happening. We ought to be able to see some abominations. We ought to be able to see a lot of things. God says abomination. A lot of folks pass off as not being anything anymore. We've got so used to it, and we've got so adjusted and so accustomed to it that it don't even bother us anymore. But there are some things God says is abomination. There are some things that God says is wrong. And if we're not careful, we may lose our own mark, our own seal. I know there's folks that say, once you've got it forever. We're sealed by the living God. No, we can lose it, I'm afraid. In 2 Timothy, let's go right quick to the second chapter. The 16th verse said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is already past and overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. God, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That sounds to me like that's part of the seal right there. The Lord knows who's his. How does he know? By those that have departed from iniquity. Amen. A lot of folks claiming to be sealed but still a wallowing in their sins. A lot of folks claiming to be sealed but still a loving the world and a parting with the world through the week and coming to church on Sunday morning. But the real seal of God is those that have departed from iniquity. Amen. Brother Cunningham said, you've got to lay the things that's wrong aside before you can take on the things that's right. Amen. You've got to depart from evil before you can do good. You've got to get rid of the sin before you can live for God and serve God. You can't have the best of both worlds. The old saying is, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have all that out there and still have God. You've got to abide in him, and his word abide in you before you bring forth fruit. Amen. And you can abide in Him and His Word abide in you and have all that other junk in there too. Amen. That's right. Having this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How many have the mark this morning? How many have the seal? The seal's important to keep us from spoiling. When I was a boy, and we canned and stuff in the summertime, so we'd have something to eat after the garden stuff was gone. Start with, we had them old zinc lids with the porcelain in them, you know, and the rubber ring with a little tab on it. And you got ready to open it, you pull that tab and pull the ring off, and then you can unscrew the top. And then later on, they got more modern, and they had the little glass top that sat down in the little ring that fit right up on top. That was better because that way the contents couldn't run down where the threads were and get contaminated down in there. And the cap screwed on there. Now we've got the dome top lids that snap down. Sister Carolyn, Sister Jolisa had some tomatoes, and they fixed some salsa here before we left home, and some of them didn't seal. Some of them, for some reason or other, didn't snap down. And we hadn't realized it was hot, and they're sitting in there in the heat, and we opened a jar or two that had already started spoiling. What happened to seals? A lot of stuff, a lot of food and counter medicine that you get and all has a warning on it. If the seal's broken. If the seal's broken, it may have been tampered with. Even an aspirin bottle has a little seal on top. You unscrew the cap and it's got that seal. If the seal's broken, bring it back. It may have been tampered with. It don't take but just a little bit of strychnine stuck in there. Everything else may be all right, but a little bit of strychnine, a little bit of arsenic lead. You say, oh, it's not very bad what I'm doing. It ain't very much. It may be enough to contaminate it. A dead flies in the ointment cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, the wise man said. Sometimes them little things can break the seal. Sometimes them little things can eradicate the mark. Sometimes them little things can keep us from having a burden like we ought to have. Sometimes them little things can encroach upon our time and trouble our minds and worry our hearts and get such a hold on us that we fail to sigh and lament for the abominations that's been committed in our land. Some of the folks in Jerusalem probably had sat back and said, well, they've got it coming. They've transgressed God. They've gone after idols. They've done everything else. They've got it coming. It serves them right. Let the enemy destroy them. Let the enemy wipe them out. Some of them might have been like Jonah, sitting under the gourd vine, just waiting for it to happen. God had to work him over. Oh, Jonah's full of things God prepared. God prepared a great fish. God prepared the gourd vine. Had mercy on Jonah. Give him a shade while he's waiting for the 40 days to run out. So God wiped Nineveh out. And in order to get Jonah's attention, he prepared a little worm. God's got ways of doing things. Amen. Amen. Prepared that little worm. Just get right in there and chew that vine too down there where it comes up out of the ground. And Jonah got all upset about it. Lord, why'd you let that happen for? Here I was needing the shade from the sun, and I had my gourd vine was just doing good, and it fixed me a little brush arbor here with a gourd vine over it, and it was shading me. And Lord, what happened to the vine? And God said, you'd have more mercy. You'd have more mercy on that little plant than you would on living souls. Than you would on a city full of people that don't know God. Yeah. He wanted them wiped out. He knew the prophets. He knew the prophets had said that Nineveh was going to come down against Israel in time to come. And he thought, if God wipes them out now, we won't have to worry about that prophecy being fulfilled. But God had a generation he wanted to save before he raised up that other generation that was going to come in to destroy. But how many of us would be marked with a mark? How many of us are carrying a burden? How many of us have got the seal? If the seal's broken, the devil can contaminate. Amen. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible said we are. But we're not to grieve Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. You say, that sounds like once in grace, always in grace. Yeah, I believe in once in grace, always in grace. I believe you ought to stay in grace. I believe you ought to live for God. I believe you ought to serve God. I don't believe in backsliding. I don't recommend it for nobody. A lot of folks do, but we ought not to. There's no need for us to. There's no reason for us to. There's no cause for us to. It's the most dangerous thing we can do, and we ought not to. I don't believe anybody ought to. But they do. They can. And they will. And every one of us will if we don't keep that seal. Amen. Every one of us will if we don't keep that Holy Spirit a promise working in our life. If we don't keep the contamination out. If we don't depart from iniquity. If we don't live for God and serve God. Oh, God's big enough to take us through. Yes, He is. But He's also put it up to us to depart from iniquity if we want the seal of God on our life.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we can do our part by resisting the devil. We can do our part by avoiding the appearance of evil. We can do our part by doing our best and then come to God to take care of the rest. But how can we expect God to take care of it all when we don't even try?
Right. Right.
Isn't that right? According to some people, God will take you to heaven whether you want to go or not. Now, so, not so, not so. Amen. If it was, it'd have folks in heaven be just as satisfied as folks are down here and wouldn't be any better than living here. But the only ones up there is the ones who want to go to bad enough that they're willing to come through the blood. And they're willing to do their part. They're willing to depart from iniquity. They're willing to get a hold of God. They're willing to carry the burden. They're willing to sigh and lament and seek God and walk softly before the Lord to abide in Him and let His Word abide in us. Amen. To avoid evil and to do good and to avoid the very appearance of evil and live for God and serve God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength to love their neighbors or self. And keep that seal. Hallelujah. The seal keeps the contamination out. Amen. Keeps the pollution out. Isn't that right? I hadn't really thought of it really like this until the Lord got to talking to me about it this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to keep that seal, wouldn't you? I'd like to live for God and serve God and go to heaven. I'd like to keep the Holy Ghost working in my life. I'd like to keep the Holy Ghost moving in my life. Amen. In fact, I get worried if I don't hear from Him every once in a while. Amen. Fella testified once about a great experience he'd had in God. It was years before. Took me a while to even catch on to what he was talking about. He said, that lifting up experience, said, I've never forgot it. That lifting up experience. And I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. A little later on, he said, something got in my hands and they just wanted to go up. He said, by nature, your hands is made to hang down. The way the gravity pulls them and the way they're fixed to your shoulder, they're made to hang down. And said, my hand just wanted to go up. And I thought, Lord, He's thrilled because years ago, He had an experience where His hand wanted to go and our hands shoot up in the air so much around holding the circles that we don't even think nothing about it. That lifting up experience gets a hold of us. We don't even think about it. Hey, man, we felt so much more. We felt the blessing. We felt the power. We felt the anointing not only making our hands want to raise, but getting in our feet and getting in our soul, getting in that life. Hallelujah. Making us shout and dance and rejoice and have a time in God that we don't even... I thought, well, I'm glad he had that experience. But what all has he missed out on? What blessings has he missed out on? If that's the best experience he's ever had, he's got a whole lot of waiting for him, but he'll get in. Amen. But we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from God. We need to keep the Holy Ghost active, working in our vessels, working in our life. Amen. Need that overflow. That's where the blessing comes in. It's from the overflow. Glory to God. When God pours it in and pours it in and pours it in till we can't contain it anymore. Till it's like Jeremiah said, a fire shut up in our bones that I couldn't keep quiet. I couldn't keep silent. I had to do something. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Danny, that's the experience we need if we're going to keep this seal. Amen. There's a way you can keep from falling. That's to keep adding to. There's a way you won't backslide. I know God's big enough to keep you and big enough to take you through, but he wants some cooperation on your part. Amen. It requires some cooperation on your part. To you who are kept by the power of God, Jude said. How can we be kept by the power of God? Staying where the Spirit of God can move. Staying where the blessing of God can flow. Staying where God can work. Staying where God can use us. Staying where we're full of the Spirit of God, because we brought ourselves to God and we come under subjection to the power of God. Amen. To the Father of light. Amen. We've got life from above. We've got an abiding experience in God. We're part and parcel of the vine and the branch in the vine, and we're part of it. Fruit's just the nature of the vine to bear fruit. Amen. A healthy vine will bear fruit. That's just the nature of it. And it ought to be our nature. And if it's not our nature for the fruit of the Spirit to be working in our life, you can't make it happen. It just happens from the flow coming from the vine. Amen. Hallelujah. That sap comes up from the vine, runs out to the branches. Glory to God. And it gets so much in there in the spring of the year when it starts calling up that it just starts pushing out. And it pushes out leaves and it pushes out blooms. And the fruit sets on the blooms. And it's just a natural flow. And if you and I'll pray and seek God and walk softly before God and abide in Him and let His Word abide in us, amen, the flow will start flowing. And the first thing you know, it'll start pushing out. And it'll push out some blossoms. And it'll produce some fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it'll bring forth fruit to perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, I'm not all that I need to be. But I want to stay where God can keep working on me. Amen. Amen. A little apple can be a perfect apple even when it's so green it ain't fit to eat. As long as it don't have any blemishes on it. It can be a perfect bloom when it's in the bloom stage. That's all it's supposed to be then, is a perfect blossom. If the fruit sets in there when the petals fall off, and it may not be any bigger than the end of your little finger, little nub there where that blossom used to be, but as long as it don't have a blemish and a scar on it, it's perfect in its state of development. And then as summer goes on, and it swells out bigger and bigger, why? Because that flow that's coming up from the roots, coming up from the trunk, coming up from the vine out into the branches, and it pushes out and it gets bigger and bigger. No, it's not ripe yet. We as boys, we used to go up in my grandparents' orchard. Sometime we'd get sick of trying to eat them apples before they got green. They had a June apple tree, but we couldn't hardly wait for them June apples to get ripe. And we start eating them while it's green. Sometimes it'd give us tummy ache. Yeah. But we couldn't hardly wait for them to get ripe. It wasn't because they wasn't perfect apples. They just wasn't ripe yet. The devil comes around and said, oh, look at you. Little old green knobby thing. What makes you think you'll ever be something? If I keep abiding in the vine. Amen. If I keep the insects out. Glory to God. If I keep the blemishes off. If I keep everything out.
Amen. If I keep everything out of my life that's not pleasing to God, and I keep abiding in the vine, and the Holy Ghost keeps a flowing, amen, and I keep a feeling the move and the flow, glory to God, and keep a growing and keep a pushing out. Oh, hallelujah. Someday I'll reach that place where the Lord says, all right, you're ready. You're ready to come and grace my table. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand, Father, again tonight. You know each heart. You know each life. God, you know those that are yours. The foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God, I pray that you'll pass by this morning. If there's somebody here that needs to pray, somebody here this morning, that's not where they need to be with you. Somebody that's not abiding in the vine, that not letting your word abide in them. Oh, God, we can't bring forth fruit of ourselves. And the branch that don't bring forth fruit's cut off and cast into the fire. Lord, those that didn't have the mark fell under the hand of the destroying weapon. And it started right in the sanctuary. It started right in the house of God. Lord, we're concerned about those that's outside and those that's lost. But Lord, we're concerned about the house of God this morning. If there's somebody this morning that needs to pray, somebody that needs to seek your face, somebody that needs you to move and work in their life, somebody that needs to start abiding in the vine, that needs the word of God to start abiding in their life, God, would you bring them to an altar prayer this morning? Help them to pray. Help them to move into the relationship they need with you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The altar's open while I sing. If you'd like to come, if you'd like to seek God, you need help from God. There's several already on their knees. This is your invitation. You'd like to seek God.
It's been so long.
Not where you need to be with God. Not where you want to be with God.
Broke with
made a burden. Made more burden than what we have.
Take me back.
I'd hate them to miss me when they're putting the marks on with me. I'd hate to be left without the mark. I'd hate for God to pass me over and say,
one more time,
he don't care.
Your message,
he don't care.
Will move me.
He don't care. I'd like to be sealed. I'd like to have
there
a mark.
Was a time of tenderness.